Thank you so much. Thank you, everybody. Right now, it's time for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me Bluff the Listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play our game in the air. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Craig Bartley.
Hey, Craig, how are you?
I'm great.
Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from downtown Dallas, Texas.
Dallas, Texas. Beautiful town. It occurs to me that you guys in Texas are actually going to get a chance to play a role in the presidential election. You have yet to vote.
Even in the Democratic primary.
In fact, how do you feel about that?
Well, it's going to be it's kind of an odd feeling. It hasn't happened in a long time.
What I'm going to say is if you or anybody else in Texas, your friends and neighbors, have ever wanted anything from Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama, now is the time to ask. Craig, it is nice to have you with us. You're going to play the game in which you have to tell truth from fiction. Carl, what is Craig's topic?
Everything I needed to know, I learned in junior high.
Despite all the dirty looks from teachers and hours of detention we got, it turns out the skills we learned in eighth grade have actually served a purpose. This week we read a story about how sometimes childish behavior can play a handy role in adult interactions. Our panelists are going to tell you three stories of grown-ups facing tough situations and choosing to apply some good old-fashioned pubescent tactics. Choose the real story. You'll win Carl's voice on your home answering machine. Ready to go?
This is the one at which I am least accomplished, but I'm ready to go.
I applaud your bravery. Here we go. First up, let's hear from Paul Prevenza.
On a Northwest Airlines flight from Minneapolis to Philadelphia, James B. Levi was assigned a middle seat next to Mr. Mark Pfeffer, whom Levi referred to in court documents as grossly obese. His fat spilled over into my seat. I couldn't even breathe, he said. A full flight meant there was no other seat available. I decided to make his flight as uncomfortable as mine, said Levi. He held his index finger an inch away from his seat neighbor's face and chanted, "I'm not touching you, I'm not touching you," for the duration of the 3.5-hour flight. Mr. Pfeffer complained to flight attendants who could do nothing to stop Levi's behavior. All they could do was point out that Levi was, in fact, not touching him. Pfeffer sued Levi and Northwest Airlines for assault and mental cruelty. The case was thrown out when 6'1", 160-pound judge Samuel Domsky declared to the plaintiff, "Well, he wasn't touching you." And Pfeffer was ordered to pay all court costs.
Not being touched at all on a flight. Your next story of a junior high school prank making a difference comes from Kiri O'Connor.
Canadian Prime Minister Stephen Harper is not known for his wackiness. Not the type of person you'd expect to know what noogies were. In one famous incident, Harper coolly told President George W. Bush not to call him Steve. So Canadians were surprised when they read about Harper's behavior on a visit to Bermuda. During a photo op with Bermuda's Premier Ewart Brown, Harper playfully grabbed Mr. Brown around the neck, ground his knuckles into Brown's distinguished scalp, and yelled, "Noogie Patrol!" Brown quickly recovered, playfully poking Harper in the midsection and telling him he had cooties. In a press release later, his staff challenged Harper's to games of capture the flag, freeze tag, and double dutch, followed by punch buggy with no backsies, jinx you owe me a Coke rules fully in force.
Stephen Harper giving a noogie, going a noogie patrol. Your last story of the tricks of adolescence playing a role in the adult world comes from Adam Felber.
In all the possible scenarios for the Israelis and the Palestinians resolving their conflict by fighting the enemy, engaging him, befriending him, negotiating with him, one solution that has never been on the table is mooning him. Until now. That's right, outside Hebron this month, some Israeli soldiers pioneered the uncharted waters of Tuchus diplomacy by exposing their buttocks to a group of Palestinian shepherds. The daring negotiating tactic was caught on camera by a peace activist, and the impudent keisters were soon all over the web. All the soldiers involved were suspended this week, as it turns out that both Israelis and Palestinians can agree that sun-drenched soldier buttocks are neither kosher nor halal. Perhaps the offender saw this as a solution to all the violence, a war downgraded to mooning, short-sheeting, and the occasional wedgie, but no. Bottom line, the government has assessed their tactics and found them fundamentally wrong and spanked them for the sake of posterity. No ifs, ands, or buts.
All right. Let us review your choices, sir. From Paul Prevenza, the story of how an interaction on a plane involving a finger that just wasn't touching him ended up in court. From Kerry O'Connor, how Canadian Prime Minister Stephen Harper gave a noogie to the head of Bermuda, and I mean literally the head. And from Adam Felber, the story of how Israeli soldiers started a new phase in the Mideast crisis by mooning a bunch of Palestinians, which is the real story in the week's news.
You know, I have been studying odd news for two solid days, and I cannot. This is the one that always stumps me, and I podcast every week, and I am at a loss. So I'm going to guess the first story.
So you're rejecting the mooning of the Palestinians, you're rejecting Kiri's story, and you were going for the guy who sat there on the plane, pointing at the guy saying, I'm not touching you, for 3.5 hours.
Yeah, I think that's going to be my choice.
All right, that's your choice. All right, you chose Paul's story. Well, to bring you the correct answer, we spoke to an academic with some expertise in the area about this real eighth grade prank.
So mooning in the West Bank may be a positive trend if both sides can turn towards this kind of armpit insult. I'm personally going to keep my eye out for the possibility that cooties might be a game that Palestinians and Israelis start to play.
But won't that be an improvement? That was Ian Lustick, a political science professor at the University of Pennsylvania, an expert on the Middle East, explaining how eighth grade tactics might in fact improve things in the peace process. I'm so sorry, Craig, but as you heard, Adam did in fact have the real answer. You did not win, but you earned a point for Paul for his remarkable, annoying story. A lifelong pacifist, I would kill if that were done to me, Paul. So,
well, I have to tell you that as a longtime fan and I was at the taping when you all were at McFarland Auditorium here in Dallas, I'll take this loss and let Paul have my point.
All right. Well, thank you for being a gentleman, Craig. Thank you so much.
You bet. Thanks
Bye-bye.
For having me.
There's a moon out tonight. Whoa, 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 whoa. Let's go strolling. There's a girl.